Okay, tonight the four of us got together from Unstoppable Software here to talk a little bit about a project we've been working on, which is our virtual tip jar site. So we have Valerie McDonough, who is our executive assistant at Unstoppable Software and works in marketing and in sales and a lot of other areas. And we have Nate Stuhler and Scott Harrison, who are both developers, and myself, Sam Schutte. And so we were going to talk about this project we did and kind of what we've seen.
If you're ready to learn how technology is driving business innovation in Cincinnati and beyond, you're tuned in to the right podcast. Join us for interviews and discussions with business leaders, innovators, and visionaries. With our host, Sam Schutte, CEO of Unstoppable Software. This is Unstoppable Talk.
First off, welcome everybody to our show.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks.
I'll give the backstory here a little bit. So a few weeks ago, I guess when things were really kind of getting bad with this coronavirus, you know, disaster that we've all been facing, I think I was kind of, you know, watching a lot of the charts go up and the numbers go up, getting worse and worse and worse. And I just kind of felt like I was tired of, I don't know, I was getting kind of wrapped up in it. I wanted to do something about it. And, you know, I think some of the folks that are suffering the most out there right now from the economic crunch of this are people in the service industry, right? Restaurants and bars and, you know, salons. And so at the time there was a couple people out there making virtual tip jar websites, which basically were just Google spreadsheets out on the internet. And so I kind of put one of those together, threw together some WordPress pages for it and started kind of promoting it. And then I pulled the other members of our team here together to help us kind of work on it and build it out a bit more, improve the technology, get the word out there and market it. And it's really shown a lot of success because, I mean, we've probably gone from 40, 50, maybe 100 visits a day on average to our website up to, you know, thousands and thousands of visitors a day. So it's really expanded a lot. So maybe a place to start, I thought we'd talk a little bit about kind of where the technology is of the site, is around the site right now, and then also just sort of some of the exposure we've gotten and how we promoted it. So maybe we could start with talking about some of the front-end technology. So Nate, you worked on a lot of the JavaScript for this site. I guess, can you describe sort of the way the site works and some of the features of it and how you were able to get that JavaScript to work?
Yeah, so there were some constraints that we had with the design of this. We didn't want to make a brand new full-featured application because I think we wanted to get this up quickly, and a lot of us were volunteering some time on this. So we just wanted to get as far as we can on a small amount of effort. And the website for Unstoppable is already on a WordPress platform. So I think that was one of the key factors in it. And so once we had all these great pages on there, and then we're inserting this tip jar functionality, we had to kind of ask ourselves, why or how do we do that and basically have forms and application type features within the WordPress site itself? So I think that was the main constraint that we were dealing with. Do you have anything that you feel like was a constraint we were working with?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. Because I think, you know, the thing with WordPress normally is it's kind of all, I mean, it's a content management system and it wants you to use its own forms and page structure and everything, right? And we sort of had to kind of completely hack that to get that to work. And then, you know, and then sort of, I think you mixed a bunch of different types of JavaScript in there, or at least, like, you know, I think you used some Ajax and stuff to make it kind of like,
yeah,
not have to refresh the page all the time.
Yeah. So, but we kind of had to do a little research to figure out, because we're not WordPress theme developers or anything. Mm-hmm. And we just were trying to figure out, well, how can we just get some JavaScript to execute within our whole WordPress platform? And so you did a little research and set up some WordPress theme page templates, I think would maybe mm-hmm. be the way to say it. So that was pretty cool. I mean, once you got that set up, then we had a little playground where we could just insert some HTML and some JavaScript and just start filling the page up. I mean, that's basically where we started. We kind of had to go iteration by iteration and just prove this stuff out, because again, we were trying to get things up as fast as we could.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of neat because I don't think we've ever really had a reason before to build, you know, real like from scratch software before inside of WordPress, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I think doing what we, I know other WordPress developers, I know when I've asked them in the past how we would do this, they didn't know. Cause a lot of times it's sort of like they're within their sandbox and that's it. Right. But I mean, really doing sort of the approach we did, I mean, you could build anything you want, an ASP.NET MVC application within WordPress if you wanted. I mean, anything with HTML or any kind of JavaScript could just live within it, which is kind of interesting to kind of make that sort of hybrid solution.
Yeah, there's definitely some drawbacks. If you're not technical, you're not really able to update it, except for maybe some searching and replacing some HTML text pretty simply. But other than that, it's pretty tricky to figure out where to go. And yeah, so, but we were able to figure out how to get some jQuery in there and include that so that we had a little bit of extra help on how to quickly call back out to some of our services that we were building. And and over time we were able to get it to be functional.
Yeah, and basically right now it's a really kind of mobile targeted app. It's very trimmed down, you know, but I mean, we added some indexes and some searching in there, and we've got it. So, you know, if because basically the purpose of the site, I guess we should say, and hopefully everyone understands what a virtual tip jar is by this point, is you go on there and you know, service industry workers are able to register their name, their place where they worked, where they got laid off from, and then their PayPal, their Venmo, some other electronic payment gateway information like that. And then actually just from their phone, they can, you added it, Nate, they can tap the Venmo icon or tap a PayPal icon, and we kind of push them out to those sites so they can, people can tip, you know, their favorite bartender, their favorite server. So like myself, you know, since I recognize some of the people with places I frequent, I could go and look at their PayPal page and see, oh yeah, that's their picture. That's who they are. And, you know, and help them out.
Let's take a quick break. This podcast is sponsored by Unstoppable Software, a Cincinnati-based technology consulting firm. At Unstoppable Software, we bolt on to your company's team and accelerate their ability to deliver custom software development projects. With our deep experience in manufacturing, engineering, and healthcare, we can tailor systems for process improvement, data analytics, machine learning, and document workflow, so they become a user-friendly, perfect fit for your employees and the way they want to work. To learn more about how we make our clients unstoppable, visit us at unstoppablesoftware.com or call us at 513-382-8499. And now, back to Unstoppable Talk.
And Nate, the front end that you built talks to a back end, a server back end that Scott built. So Scott, can you describe a little bit just kind of what that server back end looks like and how, what you kind of had to learn along the way to make that?
Yeah, so you brought me in because you had already got the Cincinnati page up, and that was working fine just with Google Sheets, and it was just one sheet, you know, you just read it and display it on any kind of form. And you had the input form using Google Forms, and that was working just fine. But then you had the idea of, said, well, how do we add cities? How do we add cities, and how do we not make a bunch of work for ourselves? So that's where we started brainstorming and said, let's go ahead and just put all the cities in one Google spreadsheet and be one giant flat table. And then where I come in, I put together an ASP core web API that runs on Linux. And we were able to get that up really quick because we use DigitalOcean and we spun that up, got it installed. I think it took me about an hour to get it provisioned and get the first part of the application out there. It's really fast. Hmm. It's a great environment to work with. And so the idea was to take this Google spreadsheet and treat it like a database. So pretty much what it did was just read the whole Google spreadsheet into memory and then serve it out as the requests came in. So if we wanted to see all of the people in one city, I built a request for that. You know, give me all the people for one city. And then Nate would call that through Ajax and then display that in one page.
Yeah, and you were, and I think you also got your kids out in Colorado Springs and Denver, I think both affected by layoffs and such.
Right.
With all this. So then they've sort of been pushing and getting people out there signed up on the Denver and Colorado Springs pages too, right?
Right.
Which is cool. And I think it's kind of interesting, like from a sort of like, I don't know, I find it interesting from a software development approach standpoint. Like we really are being very iterative with this, right? Because obviously like just throwing a Google spreadsheet, some Google forms and all this stuff out there is like the simplest possible solution that really any of our customers could just go do themselves, right? But then it's like, okay, now we want to make this dynamic so people can self-register their own cities and we can, you know, more quickly add cities rather than having to manually copy things. But we don't want to invest a ton of time into it because frankly it's all on our own dime, right? And so we didn't make a real database yet. We kept those Google Sheets. We just made them multi-city, right? And yeah, right. It's kind of a hack, and it's not like super duper scalable, but it was quick. You know,
it was very quick. We had to get it out there because you know people wanted a place to sign up.
Yeah,
within a couple of days and. We got it up within a couple of days.
Well, and my last count, I checked earlier today, I think we have 460 cities in the database that people have submitted. And those are all, you know, cities people have requested. And we're over 5,000 people now in the sort of users for those cities. You know, we have at least, what is that, at least 10 or 12 people per city, something like that. And of course, it's more like, you know, 2,500 in Cincinnati and then 2,500 elsewhere, right? But it'd be kind of interesting to see how that changes and how that grows. So then we kind of, once we kind of got that all built and put together, we wanted to kind of get the word out. And it's interesting because, you know, we've gotten a good amount of links that are driving some traffic, but really probably 60 or 70% of the traffic is coming from Facebook still. And Valerie, I kind of had you take over and kind of run the Facebook campaign and we're working on that as well. So how did you kind of talk a little bit, I guess, what you did there and some of the reaction you got from people?
Well, the biggest thing with pushing anything out on any kind of social media is getting any kind of graphic because, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the society we're in right now is you put a picture out, you're going to get a lot more traffic than you are with just words from a social media standpoint. So the first step was just to create that quick graphic for the COVID-19 challenge that Sam came up with. So, you know, just putting that out there. And then from there, it's just a matter of tagging a bunch of people that you know in the industry. And then they start sharing, tagging their friends. And then it kind of grows exponentially from there. So I'm just much more familiar with Facebook than I am most other social media platforms. So I think it's just easier to share from that avenue than it is maybe from like a Twitter or an Instagram or whatever. So,
well, and it was interesting because, I mean, you're right that it does seem like it was sort of exponential when you tagged people that cared about it and people that were good sort of targets. I mean, that was a real effective way to do it rather than if you just shared it and that was it. And then, you know, you kind of went down in the comments of that post and would tag people and write a sentence saying, hey, check us out, so and so and so forth. I thought it was pretty interesting to see how many people wrote. I mean, we got a lot of like real good personal stories out of this, you know, that are pretty moving, you know, people that are laid off and they're a single mother and you know, a young girl or something that, you know, is sort of having to move back in with their parents or something like this. And there's a lot of people And I saw a lot of that in the comments of your posts, you know? So, I mean, it's just good to see that. And I think that, and you know, over time, then you started to see more people that we didn't know sharing it and posting it, right?
Right. Right. And that was really cool to see too.
Yeah.
Is, you know, hey, who's sharing that? I don't even know them. How do they even know? How did they find my post and then be able to share it? So that was really neat, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the most viral sort of campaign, whatever I've ever really been a part of, just in terms of going from zero to, you know, I don't know how many shares total and stuff on Facebook, but quite a lot of traffic, you know. And then what kind of happened then is once people were sort of seeing it on Facebook, you know, and we had emailed a couple press outlets and we got written up in the Cincinnati Inquirer by a reporter. And of course, once that happened, I mean, the very next morning I got an email from ABC News out of New York and Good Morning America and some others. And then they wrote us up on their websites, which led to more, because then it was Channel 12, Channel 5, Channel 9, Channel 64. All the TV stations did videos with me. And then that, you know, every one of those links we got really kind of expanded it more and more from like other organic traffic coming in. And it was kind of wild too, like getting interviewed by these, you know, these TV reporters, anchors, whatever you call them, because they're all stuck at home too. So, I mean, we were all FaceTiming and stuff, you know, it was a really easy way, I guess, rather than having to like go down to the studio and stuff like that, which I would have been much, much less comfortable with, you know. And then past then, you know, we got some links from like Food and Wine magazine, some sort of coffee shop trade magazine, self.com, you know, so a lot of other pretty big name websites started linking to our site. And it's really interesting to me, like from a business case too, like how many in this little micro ecosystem, some of the bigger sites that evolved quickly, you know, because there's like three or four others out there that are doing what we're doing. And then so websites started saying, here's the three big ones in the space. You know, there's these guys at Unstoppable Software. There's one called Tip Your Server. There's one called serviceindustry.tips, I think it is. All doing kind of similar stuff, you know. So it was interesting kind of seeing that. And, you know, we got one of the bigger groups that we formed was for the San Francisco Bay Area. And so we got tweeted by the mayor of Oakland, California, which is kind of cool. And that was because people out there in Oakland, that some stranger I don't even know who asked for the site to be set up, was emailing her, telling her about it, you know. So very grassroots type thing, pretty interesting.
Yeah, can I share just a little bit as kind of an outsider perspective on this? Because sure. I think in some form of the evolution here, you had the idea, Sam, and worked with Valerie to start thinking about how to get the word out. And then it was when you realized you needed to scale it to the other cities that you asked me and Scott about it, or at least that's my memory of the history of it. And so it was kind of neat to see that COVID-19 dollar challenge that was already put out there, and I found out about it a couple of days later, and you could see the ball was rolling already, and it was just extra motivation for us, for the developers, to try and get this out there, because I could feel like if I can get this out and we can add more cities, and then I can ask any of my friends that are in the, that are more likely to contribute if they're in these other cities. And that was one of my main motivations. It's like, if we can get up St. Louis and Cleveland and other places I've lived and know people, like, that would be really cool.
Yeah. And it's pretty neat, like, because we have Destin and Pittsburgh and of course other places. And so you can go there. I was looking at Destin the other day and I was like, oh, I've been there. Like, I know that place, you know. Yeah. I know AJ's Oyster Bar or something. And I think we have Gulf Shores as well. So I know Valerie's been there before, I think it is. And, you know, so it's neat just to see all these places and these brands that we know across the country. And you're definitely right that, you know, we kind of got like a toehold using an easier technology before kind of expanding it to make it more multi-city. And now, you know, when you look at the sort of map of traffic coming in, I mean, there's people from cities all over the place. And I've had a lot of like small towns reach out to me, call me, email me that want to just have, you know, just 20 restaurants in their little downtown area, and they just want to have a little web page for it. That's it. And So like I created one for Salem, Ohio, because that's what they asked for, you know, and if it's useful to them and it helps them, fine. You know, it's not Chicago, but they are, because she said, well, I'm going to take this link and put it on flyers and then go hand it out, you know, or put it on the front doors, the stores and stuff like this, you know, because it's hard for people to just like whip together a website if they don't know how to do it, you know. So it was definitely interesting to see that. Yeah, and it's kind of funny because we, I kind of feel like we were all going a little crazy sitting at home in this coronavirus insanity. And I asked Nate and Scott, you know, hey, you guys want to do this? And we dove in and probably worked, I don't know, 2-3 hours the first night. And then, you know, whatever, we called it a night. And then the next night, you know, it was probably about 10 o'clock at night. And I think Nate or Scott emailed me like, hey, you want to do something? You want to hop in? And and so for probably, I don't know, 2 nights in a row, 3 nights in a row, we hopped in and did these late night Zoom meeting sessions. And I mean, we were going until 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Maybe even later, just pounding out. And I mean, for me personally, it was just to kind of nice not to think about all the bad stuff happening. It was a little bit therapeutic for me to just actually like work together, you know. I don't know if you all felt that way as well, but sometimes like, you know.
It's nice to be able to take some action in what could hopefully help.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Kind of rolling up your sleeves and doing something as opposed to sitting there and feeling helpless, right?
And even, it's just nice too, we don't even always get to work together. Yeah. So it was kind of nice that we're pretty familiar with the remote tools and threw up a Zoom meeting and we all had video of each other while we're working and just kind of extreme programming, basically, where we're all working on stuff at the same time, talking when it makes sense. Asking, hey, Scott, do you have this for me? I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Things like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, because, I mean, we, you know, just for whatever reason, the way that we usually work, we're split between a lot of projects. You know, we're not usually all working on the exact same code base or anything. And I don't know, it reminded me of back in the day when I did wall work with teams of developers late at night like that quite often, you know, earlier in my career. And like I said, we don't often, a lot of times we might be working on something by ourselves, you know, as consultants and stuff. So it's nice to be able to do that occasionally, kind of nice little hackathon environment. And I certainly appreciate all the effort that you guys put into it and Valerie as well to get the word out there. And, you know, we'll see kind of what the future holds for it. I know we're working on, you know, right now, as Scott kind of mentioned, the data is living in a Google Sheet. And so Scott had to learn to sort of be a Google Sheet DBA, which we were teasing him about. And it's surprisingly fast is the thing. Like, it's obviously not stored in a Google Sheet, in an Excel sheet in the cloud. Like,
well, it's some I did some metrics on it. And the difference between the Postgres database that's over on DigitalOcean and, you know, reading in, you know, doing a query on the entire database of all the people. The database is always going to be a lot faster, but I was really surprised at how long it took to read the entire spreadsheet. And it took like, you know, sometimes under a second, a little over a second, you know, like 830 milliseconds or 1.3 milliseconds would be the top end. But that's still really, really fast.
Yeah.
So that's in the server world, you know, in the where, you know, it's hooked up to T3s and more network links. You know, just on my machine at home, it usually takes about 20 seconds to download the entire spreadsheet. So that just gives you an idea of the power of that you can do with a Google spreadsheet.
You know, and it's funny because
it as a database.
Yeah. And it's funny because I mean, obviously like behind the scenes, it's storing data in some kind of big NoSQL super Google powered database, right? Like that they hand programmed on their custom OS that they wrote. Right. Cause it's just the scale that system has to deal with. I mean, I've never really seen any statistics about like how many Google spreadsheets and Google Docs get created in a day, but I mean, it's a lot, right? It's far more than you would guess. And it's interesting because we're slamming it pretty hard with all the calls we're making. And occasionally we started hitting our limit and getting error messages and stuff. And I emailed Google to sort of say, hey, can we request an increase on how many transactions we try to process and stuff? And they basically kind of were like, oh, you really don't want to do that. <You know? laughs> It was like, why? Like, is it expensive? Or is it make sure you really need it first.
Right.
Like, so, I mean, obviously it's not a long-term solution. It was it's just like, you know, how do we get there quickly? How do we get something out quickly? So yeah, I mean, I think as long as the system is helping people and we can make some enhancements, I mean, I think there's other things we could do. I've got other ideas. I mean, at a certain point, hopefully the system won't be needed anymore, right? Hopefully people will, you know, restaurants open back up, bars will open back up, and we can kind of regain our sanity. But I will say, like, if you go through and you look at random Venmo accounts in there, you'll see people writing in the Venmo transaction, you know, virtual tip, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, people are doing this. People are using it. We don't have any ability to know how much or, you know, dollar amounts or anything like that, because those are all internal and external to us or, you know, external to those systems. But, I mean, it's definitely getting used. So I think it's a good thing to have built and gotten the word out there about.
Yeah, I just hope people, I hope it is helpful, and I hope people are interested in going on here to help those out that aren't able to work and are on here as volunteers to put their information out there to potentially receive those tips. That'd be nice.
Yeah, and you know, I get a lot of emails every day about this site, people asking for help, and every single person is super appreciative. You know, thank you so much for building this. This just means so much. And the people I've sent tips to, even if it's $5 or $2 or whatever, because I'll just sometimes just go on and do it. I mean, it's not an amount of money that's going to change their life, but I think it makes people feel noticed and appreciated, you know, and that matters. And I'll tell you, because I joined a lot of groups for restaurant industry and stuff like that to help kind of post links to this out there, I'm in those groups on Facebook, and I mean, none of them are getting unemployment yet. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people trying to get that system even to work. So, I mean, there's still a lot of, people are still in a lot of pain out there because they're not getting, you know, weekly checks and stuff yet. So if people want to check it out, the website is covidtipjars.com or covid19tipjars.com also works. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes. And again, thank you all for your help with this project and coming in and speaking about it. You know, we will look forward to doing more with it later.
All right. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks, Sam, for coordinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to Unstoppable Talk. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you did, be sure to support the show by leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. And learn more about this show by heading over to unstoppablesoftware.com. Until next time, keep innovating.